Sing it.
No.
Everyone else is.
Her real name is Debbie Kowalski.
Debbie Deb. And what a weekend to get ready for. Sun is shining. It's going to be hot. Finally. Yes. Look at this tune. It's just so good. Patrick O'Sullivan now joining us for the noon hour. How you doing?
Good.
He's How dancing on the inside, apparently.
That's what he does. You know, on the outside, he doesn't show, but on the inside,
honestly, guys,
you know he loves it.
I don't feel that well today.
Oh, no. Are you
feeling
sick?
Good? What's wrong?
Wow, that was a... You guys seem really concerned. I don't think
I'm more concerned about, you spreading germs to me.
Well...
Let's be honest.
If you're lucky.
But I'm bummed.
No, I don't...
Are you one of those people who gets sick heading into the warm weather? Like, you know,
When it changes... When it changes,
yeah.
It's season to season.
Do you have the John McCain excuse? Did you hear about John McCain yesterday?
No. So McCain, I'm not senile, but...
So McCain's questioning of James Comey got a little weird, and he seemed to get disoriented. So McCain said he was up too late the night before watching the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Oh.
So he shouldn't stay up too... So maybe you're up late, late start last night.
See what
night.
Baseball
late
does to you?
Late puck drop last night. You're up, you know... No, the game was, it's now the game was
it's
over.
Been
the game was over
days.
By 9 Eastern, but...
No, you're just one of those people who get sick when it heads into the warmer months. They always get a cold at this time.
Yeah, it seems like the weather usually gets me when it changes season to season. I've been, frankly, extremely disappointed with the weather up here.
Ugh.
Like, it was freezing. Is that normal?
up here?
Yeah, I haven't been up here in a while.
He's
I haven't
Americano,
lived up here
right?
and experienced all oh. the seasons in a while. And, you know, I seem to recall it not being this way. Like, it's freezing cold in June.
The last two summers were really hot and humid. This, I'm hearing, based on with that Farmer's Almanac, whatever that, you know,
so Bob
psychic
McKin's,
thing is. It's
oh,
supposed
that's right. I forgot to check my Farmer's Almanac.
So, when should you plant your corn? So Bob McKenzie taunts me about this all the time. I hate the hot weather.
You?
Oh, can't yeah. when it's hot.
Why?
When it gets hot and humid?
You mean humid? Like, I don't think
hot
anybody really
I'm a Western
humidity.
Canadian. I'm from Western Canada. When it gets hot and humid out, no. So, like, friends of mine would call me, hey, like, in August, want to play golf? Is it over 30 degrees Celsius? Yeah. Is it over 85% humidity? Yeah. No, I'm not going.
So, I'm guessing you don't do hot yoga.
No. Okay. I like fall and spring.
Fall's my favorite. I will say this. Fall's my absolute favorite.
And McKenzie will tweet out, like, in August when it's, like, you know, 35 degrees and humid, Gord Miller must be dying today.
Really?
You can't complain about hot weather if you live in Canada because...
We never
half,
get it.
Well, yeah. Well, half the year is miserable.
It's so not
you
miserable.
Can't, you can't be upset.
It's not miserable.
Oh, it sucks. I live somewhere where it never snowed for 2 years. It's significantly better than somewhere that snows for half the year. Or it's cold.
Makes it hard to ski,
just,
though.
It just is. Yeah, I mean, if you like to ski, then you can go somewhere to ski. But how many times a year do you ski?
I don't know, 20?
Okay.
My husband's in denial. We just discovered
like
this yesterday.
That sounds like you're...
It does sound like
20 days, not 20 times, but 20 days.
That sounds like a lot.
That sounds like a lot.
10 weekends a year, yeah.
I don't ski. But yeah, we're going away this weekend, just a little getaway.
Where are you going?
And where we're going has a pool. It's just a little getaway. And
it's none of your business.
It's none of your
apparently,
business.
None of my business.
But I for and, are, and that's
are,
it.
Are you going across the like? Is it more like? Are you going like?
We're not going to Veranda Beach.
You're not going to the community pool across
no.
the street.
No,
with Sega.
No, we're not going with Sega. But we discovered my husband, who's in denial, owns more swim shorts than he does sweaters. I'm like, you do realize we get more cold weather than warm. So why do you have more summer gear than you
that
do
seems
winter
like kind of
gear?
That's a personal thing to be telling everyone on the radio about his clothing.
He's got some
Did you
shorts.
Hear about the dog poop bag Ugh. Story, Patrick?
He's going to bring that up again.
She threw a bag of dog poop at her husband's head.
He was upsetting me.
Like,
real? Was he being a head?
He was. Okay, I want to ask your opinion. Before we headed into the noon hour, we had noodles on. And it's just been announced today, the IOC saying 3-on-3 basketball is going to be added to the Olympics.
I actually saw that on Twitter. What is that?
I guess it's like street ball.
Playground
just,
basketball.
It's pretty awesome.
You call your own fouls?
No, I'm sure there still has to be a ref. I'm sure there still has to be a ref.
That'd be awesome. If the Olympics had a sport that wasn't officiated, that'd be hilarious.
How would hockey ref itself?
No, that wouldn't work.
It would not work.
It doesn't work with refs.
Oh.
With actual refs.
All right.
The basketball thing, though, like, is that normally don't sports have to exist somewhere else before it kind of gets bumped into?
Playground basketball does exist, like 3-on-3 playground.
Well, I know that, but you know, like
they must have other tournaments that they have to be a part of.
That's why I said, are they going to call their own fouls? Because that's what people do when you play outside.
Yeah.
My point is, where has this been?
Where else
to
are they
now
competing?
All of a sudden turn into something that's going to be in the Olympics?
Yeah, like when snowboarding came on board, they still had snowboard. They had events, right?
Will they play on asphalt with a chain link fence around?
Like,
yeah, and will the rim shouldn't have any netting? Right? It should just be a bent, like a bent rim that, you know.
But do you think if you did a version of that for hockey? Obviously you'd have to change quite a bit as far as the timing of the game, how long they'd be. But would you think that could work for hockey if it was reduced to 3-on-3 at the Olympics?
I don't know. I think it would be entertaining. I think the rink's too big to do it for an extended amount of time. I don't know what the length of periods would be.
A lot of these countries, you have to remember, right, where you go for the Olympics, it depends, but a lot of them might, like they build the venues for the Olympics, so they may not have an ice rink, so they have the ability to build it.
So congratulations, you now got a 3-on-3 ice rink.
I just don't think hockey,
that's part of your legacy.
I don't think hockey's nearly popular enough to have a different version of it in the Olympics.
But Andy, are you asking this because you think this is a way to get NHL players still to go?
Yeah, that's my point.
That's not going to happen. Like that's what
I'm trying to think outside the box. Try to find a happy medium where you don't require as many players to go.
No, you don't have to shut down your league. No. I'm sorry to be negative, but the answer is no. NHL players aren't going to play 5-on-5, 3-on-3, 1-on-1, 2-on-2. They're not going.
You're a dream crusher, aren't you?
I am.
Someone shares their dreams with you, and you crush them.
NHL players are not
going. And you
going,
hate the heat. I don't trust you.
NHL players are not going to the Pyeongchang Olympics.
I'm not talking about Pyeongchang.
Pyeongchang, apparently.
Oh, is it Pyeongchang?
Apparently.
I'm going to have to learn that quickly. I'm just saying in the future, if that were to be discussed.
Well, they're going in 2022.
Okay.
After the lockout in 2020.
Okay.
It's going to be great.
Crosby.
Gordon, what am I doing this weekend? You seem to know everything else.
Better getting healthier.
So Crosby, should he have deserved a penalty for throwing the bottle?
No.
No, why not?
I don't think he tried to throw it. I think he was trying to squirt water. So this is the motion you would make if you're trying to squirt water far. And I think it just slipped out of his hand.
I don't know if that's better or worse if you're trying to also squirt the ref with water.
That happened. Well, I don't know. Well, maybe get his attention, not actually hit him. That happens a lot, though. People squirting water.
Yes, we do see that.
I mean, he got water all over him in the prior round, right? So, also, if that's his throw, we may have a bigger conversation.
Oh, it was his left hand.
But that's what I mean. Like, if you're going to throw something, it's not going to be with your wrong hand.
But does intent matter? He did, by definition, throw something on the ice. Whether he meant to or not, he threw something on the ice.
Well, I just think we can put it into the column of penalties that just aren't called, like half the other stuff that goes on. Like, does it really make a difference?
Should he have been called for the noogie time on PK Subban?
I don't know. PK looked like he was trying to steal his arm. Like he was going to take Crosby's arm home with him. But again, how does that go on for like 30 seconds before you just call the penalty? Like Sid's pushing his head off the ice a bunch of times.
And sticking his finger like in his ear, by the look of it. Like drilling his ear.
I feel like everybody's had this conversation. I don't know if you guys have talked about it over the last couple of weeks or what, but the rules aren't called consistently.
Yeah.
That's a problem through the regular season, and it becomes worse in the playoffs, but I don't, like, as a player, I wouldn't care what's called or what isn't, but just make it the same all the time so that you know what you can and can't do. That's part of the problem. Like, some of these slashes and cross-checks and stuff that's from behind, sometimes the refs are thinking it's like a push, and others are saying it's a cross-check, and half the time that's a penalty, and half the time it's not. I just think it's bad for the game. It's bad for the product. People watching, especially nowadays with Twitter, that's all people end up doing is just complaining about stuff that's going on in the game.
Right. So I agree with you. I'm just back from the World Championship, and I do I do IHF events all year. They call it a penalty in the first period, in the first minute of the first period is a penalty in the last minute of the third, and I can tell you, as someone who calls games, it's great because you know what a penalty is.
Yeah, the players like it too. Every time you play in that tournament, this is what happens as a player. You get there and you're warned by the coaching staff.
Yeah.
Like the refs call everything. And then it's annoying for the first few games because you got to adjust a little bit compared to what you have in the NHL. And then by the time the elimination games come, everybody knows. And you don't do it.
You just don't do it.
So the players adjust.
Like it's.
But, Gord, the issue with this stuff is it's not the players, and it's really not even the refs. It's the people, you know, it's the board of governors and everybody else who decide what the rules are. They just had a meeting with the competition committee, and they don't want to change anything.
They think the offside rules are great.
And you know why? I know half those players really well that are on that thing. I'm not going to name their names. You can look it up. It's real simple. Those guys don't even want to participate in that stuff. They can't stand it. It's a bother. So when you have that kind of thought process going into this stuff, you wonder why things never change or get adjusted because nobody cares.
And what happens is, and the crease rule in 1999, you had all these goals. For 3 years, you had all these goals being disallowed with a toe in the crease and all that. Mm-hmm. And they went on and on and on. And then finally they got embarrassed. The Brett Hull goal in the game six overtime embarrassed them. Then they changed it. What's going to happen?
But they believe, you know, we had, was that 2 weeks ago or last week? Brian Lewis was on.
Mm-hmm.
The old director of officials, right?
Who had to speak about that.
Yes. And he explained that.
That was the worst.
But he explained that in a way that made it sound like the league was completely fine with it because it was in the process of getting a rebound. And in that situation, you didn't technically actually have to leave the crease in the first place to then reach out and get a rebound, that like a puck that wasn't in the crease. So this is kind of the same thing. It's like the league, if they spin it a certain way in their own mind that they believe it's not an issue, then it's not an issue. When the reality is, everybody knows watching that this is absurd.
So Pittsburgh or Nashville scores in overtime in Game 6 on Sunday night. And the league has to review the play to see if it's offside. And it's And it's one of those terrible ones where it's like, is the guy skating the air or not?
And imagine if it's Pittsburgh. There are gears everywhere. Guys are hugging each other.
Yeah.
Family members in the elevator on the way down to get onto the ice. And we got to review it because the guy's shoelaces.
I can't
not,
even.
Not in the right spot.
And then the rule will change.
Yeah. I mean, but why does it have to go that far?
I agree.
But we all heard Gary Bettman's comments on this when he felt there was absolutely nothing wrong. That's what prompted us getting Brian Lewis on, was because Gary Bettman had just spoken before the Stanley Cup final began. He always gives his state of address.
Yeah.
And he said there's nothing wrong with it. In fact, he said it was down 13%, offside down 13%, because you players know that we're going to be looking at it closely. And then the comment that kind of got all of our feathers ruffled was when he said that, you know, maybe the official, you know, will let it go knowing that he has the ability to review it afterwards. Like, they're never going to want to make a mistake or let something go, right? If they feel that something should be called, they'll call it. But here's the thing. It's been talked about all season long. It's being talked about right before the Stanley Cup final. But you have your commissioner that's just saying, it's great. And and to your point, they'll spin it away to make it sound great. Yeah, oh, it's down 13% from last year. That means it's working.
And unfortunately, we've gone a couple games where there hasn't been anything. And if you look at how frequently that stuff pops up, it's going to happen next game. Just on average.
It's inevitable.
We're due for one either in this next game or if it does go seven. And it's just embarrassing for the league because at this point, especially with Nashville and that whole thing with how much I think it's attracted more people than normal, I think, this year. The average person in the U.S. that doesn't really care about hockey.
Yeah, the NBC numbers are through the roof.
But they see this circus going on, and they're like, well, I'm going to find out more.
Mm-hmm.
So they're watching, and all of a sudden, it's one of the last couple games of the season, and they got to sit through a seven-minute review. And, you know, people like us who watch the game every day, we can't decipher what's going on, and how can you expect the average person to?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not good.
What they're going to do eventually, it's inevitable. They'll go to the football rule. They'll go to the plane of the line.
That's what it should be.
So just be, if you're over the line, you're onside. Not if your foot's in the air. It'll just be, if you're over the line, you're fine.
Well.
And I mean, above the line.
And I think that's just, to your point about the committee, the fact that it's just not even something that's
They don't want to
being looked at. Just not even going to be something discussed. I think that's just what was upsetting more than anything, is that at least talk about it. But nope, not even part of it. Dino Cicerelli is going to be joining us next year on Leafs Lunch. He held the rookie record for points in the playoffs. Jake Guentzel with his assist last night.
Tied him.
Everybody jumping on board in that 6-0 win yesterday. Yes, tied him for points with 21. Dino, the four-time NHL All-Star and Hall of Famer, is coming up on Leafs Lunch. Stay with us.
Crosby in front of Jerry. Hey! So much scored! Crosby sets up Jerry from no more than 4 feet away. The Penguins lead now 4-0. Oh, give me back my old Cadillac. Dancing with a puck was Crosby. Jerry finishes 4-0 Penguins.
That 4-0 goal was the one Jay Guentzel assisted on, giving him 21 points as a rookie in these playoffs, and that ties Dino Cicerelli.
And Ville Leino.
And Ville Leino, yes, who also matched that, 21 points. But Dino was the first to do that back in 1981. So going back, my friend.
You want to say something about Ville Leino, don't you, Gord?
Well, your eyes almost fell out of your head when I said it.
Well, I knew because I heard it yesterday, but my buddy was playing for Philly on that same team that year when they lost to Chicago. And I went to watch them for a few games in, I think it was the final, whatever. And I remember watching this guy, and I was like, this guy's unbelievable. He was a really good player, like a complete player. And then, you know, as we all know, what happened when he got that contract and was never even close to what he was. We had him on the show, Andy. Remember?
We did? Yeah, because he had that shirt that was like in jail or something.
Yeah, he was making fun of Buffalo. He's. I think that guy's misunderstood, though. Like
Yeah.
We don't need to talk about Ville Leino anymore, but he is tied with the guy who we're going to have on. So it is relevant.
Yeah, impressive stat. Dino Cicerelli in Vegas, so he'll be joining us in a few minutes' time. We can ask him about this as well, and I'm going to start asking you guys about it. Gord Miller, Patrick O'Sullivan, Andy Petrilli here on Leafs Lunch. So whoever wins this cup, be it the Pittsburgh Penguins, be it the Nashville Predators, their name goes on the Stanley Cup. And as we know, you have to remove a layer to make room, or else the Stanley Cup would be the length of this room, and that's just not going to happen. Now, the pieces obviously go to the Hockey Hall of Fame. They're enshrined there forever, never to be forgotten. But that means the years 1953-54 through 64-65 are going to come off. And that also means the names of Gordie Howe and Maurice Rocket Richard are going to be off the cup. They'll be in the Hockey Hall of Fame. Yeah. But are you weirded out by the fact that the Stanley Cup will not have two of the most iconic names on it after this year?
Yeah, I think it is unfortunate. And one of the problems is there's a clear criteria for players to go on the cup. If you play 40 regular season games or one game in the Stanley Cup final, your name goes on the cup. There is no clear criteria for management. So if you go back to the 70s when Montreal was winning the Stanley Cup all the time, the head coach, even the assistant coach didn't get their name on the cup. So it was the head coach, the general manager, players, and the trainer. It gradually started to grow and grow, and to the point where they had to put a limit on it. It's 53 names now.
Per team.
Per team, per year. So you get 53 names on there. So you get like the vice
president. Which is a ton.
It's a lot. Yeah, it's a lot.
Like the vice president, I'm sorry, doesn't need to be on the cup.
Mm-hmm. Right, so you get scouts and you get, you know, everyone else on the cup. The way, it's hard to do, but if you want to find a solution to this.
Go back and take people off.
Go back and redo the cup. So make a clear criteria, the general manager, the coaching, anyone on the bench. So the general manager and anyone on the bench and the eligible players get their name on the cup.
Yeah, like anybody directly involved in the day-to-day, like the trainer that's there with the guys every day is way more important than the VP. So, like, if you want to pick and choose over people, that's the way it should be, because the trophy is a representation of the team and what they accomplished. Yeah. And the trainer is, you know, a guy like that is critical.
So the ring you can give to anyone. You can give rings to as many people. There's no limit on the number of people that get Stanley Cup rings.
Just give those people rings.
So if you cut it down to, say, 30 people per team, over the years, you'd have room for everybody. You'd have lots of room for everybody. Mm-hmm. But it would involve now going back and literally taking people's names off the cup.
Yeah.
you would now be saying, so Mike Ilitch, when the Red Wings won the Cup in 97 or 98, he wanted to put all his children on the Cup. They said, you can't. So he made them all vice presidents. So all nine of his children have their name on the Cup.
See, that's embarrassing.
So
yeah, I don't like that. I'm not a fan.
So Robbie Laird was a pro scout for L.A. and a very good one. Got his name on the Cup when L.A. won the Stanley Cup in 2012. In 2014, when they won it again, he gave up his spot to Alan McCauley. He said, put Alan McCauley on there. Because he's one of our pro scouts, too.
Mm-hmm.
But there's lots of other pro scouts for L.A. that don't get their name on the Cup. So I just don't know how you can go back and say, yeah, by the way, now does the owner get their name on the Cup?
Yeah.
They're the reason why the team's there.
Okay, so you're going to expand it to, so Calgary, when they won the Cup in 89, had eight owners.
Oh, jeez.
So, right, because they were owned by a group. So, But even then, even in that rare sort of circumstance, you'd still take, if you take 15 names off every year, you'd have room for everybody. I do think it's odd that Gordie Howe and Rocket Richard's names aren't going to be in the Cup anymore, but the vice president of marketing for Chicago in 2010 is.
Yeah, it's weird, but at the same time, like if you decide to, in the first place, put even the names, like over time, Gord, even if they did it the way that you and I think, and I'm probably sure most people think they should do, with limiting the amount of names, at a certain point, you're still going to have to take some off.
Yeah.
Like when you get to that point where there's no more room.
I guess we are taking names off the Cup because you're taking Gordie Howe and
you're just prolonging inevitable.
Like you're prolonging the point at which when those guys are going to have to come off anyways because you're not making the trophy any bigger. So I guess it's just kind of
at some point they're coming off.
Part of the deal when you decide to put actual names on the trophy and you know,
and they're going in the Hockey Hall of Fame. They're not gone. You want to see them. They're there.
Maybe you could.
Do you have a section
them back
on, the
on. Maybe you alternate what you take off the bottom. It's like an honorary thing where every 10 years you can, I don't know. I mean, you could do that too.
Take the league's top 100 players. Permanently.
Except Malkin.
Except Malkin.
Guy's going to win. I think he should win another Conn Smythe.
Okay, so we're gonna do the Conn Smythe edition of Power Rankings. We're going to do that in about 20 minutes' time. I'll get your thoughts on that, because a poll that Gord put out, I was actually surprised at the percentage there. Maybe it's changed since then, but we'll get to that in just a moment. But first, let's welcome in Dino Ciccarelli, four-time NHL All-Star and Hall of Famer, inducted in 2014. How you doing, Dino?
Good, thank you.
I hear you're in Vegas. Is this just vacation? You're just having a good time?
Well, a combination of both. There's a charity golf outing, and it turned it into a 3-4 day event. So it's a lot of fun. A little hot out here, but enjoying it.
Come on, Dino. You're on the bike. You want to come back. There's expansion coming. You got the hands.
Why not? I mean, 4 or 5 power plays a game. You know, geez, I could get a couple goals. No problem.
Well, I'd love to see that. But watching the big talk is Jake Guentzel and what he's been able to do in these playoffs. And then with his point last night, ends up tying your point total of rookie in a playoffs. First of all, how hard is it as a rookie to stand out the way you did in 81 and even the way he is now in 2017?
Well, he's in good company now. He's tied with me, so he must be doing something right. No, but it was just a situation where I came in as a rookie. I started in Oklahoma City and with a young Minnesota team, and I think we played Boston first round. We were like the ninth seed, so nobody really gave us a chance. And then we ended up getting lucky first round, and then things just kind of gelled and everybody kind of came together. And I think the key thing is the coaching staff, when they bring up these young kids nowadays is, and Guentzel being a goal scorer, you can see he's got a knack for the net. I've been watching it close ever since this has been going on. And he's getting all kinds of opportunities every game. But coaching staff, they just don't bring up a kid from the minors and stick him on the third or fourth line. I mean, he's playing on the top line, and he's on the top power play. So, they're doing a great job putting him in the right positions.
But, Dino, it's interesting because Guentzel and you have a lot in common in that you only scored 18 goals in the regular season that year, right? And then when you're in the playoffs. And then, in Guentzel's case, he only played 40 games this year and did score 16 times. But you hadn't spent the whole year with the team.
No, I got called up, I think, three different times that year, and I was in Oklahoma City. I think I ended up scoring. I had 32 goals in Oklahoma City, and I ended up with 18 in Minnesota, so 15 for the year. And, I got called up first game against Winnipeg. They sent me right back, and then I remember we played in Pittsburgh, and I think I got second star. And they sent me back after that, and I was like, what the heck's going on here? You know, but I think they sent me back for a couple of weeks to make some roster moves, I guess, and then I came up the third time on the island and scored my first goal, and then that's when I stuck around.
Dino, what do you make of this final this year?
Well, I think I'm still a fan, obviously. I think all the games in the playoffs have been exciting, you know. It's nice to see, Nashville and the city going crazy there, but it just seems like the experience with Pittsburgh is maybe a little too much right now. But, no, it's fun. It's very competitive. It's hard-nosed, and, if you're a fan of hockey at all, I mean, you're getting your money's worth right now.
You know, you played against that powerhouse Islander team in the 81 final. And, of course, you played against the Oilers in their heyday. Edmonton's 84-85 team was named the greatest team of all time. What do you consider the best team you played against?
Oh, boy. We lost to Edmonton that one of those years. I can't remember, Minnesota, in the semifinals. But I don't know. They just had so much speed and so much goal scoring. And then, they were wide open. But then they had Fierzy in net that could stop anything. So. And, and the Islanders, I think, a little more defensive-minded team. And, you saw some of those matchups with the Islanders in Edmonton. They were good. They were great playoff series as well. So, trying to match some of these teams back then in the 80s against, whether it's Pittsburgh or Nashville, it would be too close to call, very exciting, both teams, Pittsburgh right now, they just seem they have the experience, and Nashville, I think the game last night was a little weird, but nobody expected that. But I still think Nashville is probably going to win Game 6, and it's probably going to go back to Pittsburgh for Game 7.
We're talking to Dino Ciccarelli, Hockey Hall of Famer. Does it surprise you the way these teams are performing on home ice? It's like, it's incredible how much they're struggling on the road, and then how much they can dominate at home.
Well, I wouldn't think it was like that earlier, but it seems to be the case in the finals. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It seems like the home cooking seems to be working in the finals, but I thought the beginning of the playoffs, I didn't think it really mattered where you're playing or who you're playing against. The games were so close, but it's been fun to watch. And And just the way things have gone for Nashville, you think they're going to win Game 6, and then, you get to Game 7, and, anything can happen there.
Well, we would love a Game 7. Dino, thanks so much for taking the time. So Gensel may have tied you in points, but he still has one more to go if he wants to tie you in goals. So enjoy the golf game.
Yeah, you bet. Thanks for calling, guys.
That is Dino Ciccarelli, four-time NHL All-Star, inducted into the Hall of Fame 2014, had the rookie record for points in the playoffs of 21. Jake Gensel has tied him. NHL player safety announcing, by the way, that Colton Sissons will not be suspended for Game 6 for his cross-check on Olimata. He got a match penalty.
Why have the rule? Why have the rule that never is followed in the playoffs? It's true.
Yeah.
So there you go. He received a match penalty, which could carry over a suspension, but no, won't be suspended for Game 6.
I don't think anyone thought he would be. Did anyone have...
No. So, I mean, I guess it wasn't a match penalty in the first place?
I don't know.
Or is that rule just stupid? Because it's one of those two, right?
No, it's true.
I think it's over, frankly. I don't think they have a chance.
You don't think Nashville can get it back?
Really? We were talking about this before, that Pittsburgh has won the Cup four times, always on the road.
Yeah, I know. But it's different. If you look at the scenarios and how they played out, I mean, the first two they won in the early 90s, they just ran over
right
whoever they played, and then... In 2009, they had to force Game 7, so they never had a chance to win it at home. And then last year, Game 6, they won.
I think the two-day breaks help Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
I think the 2 days off help Pittsburgh, because I think, the amount they play Crosby and Malkin especially, don't you think that gives them...
100%. I think last night was the first time we saw their actual team, and what I mean is, like, that's who they are.
Yeah.
How they played. They just don't give you a say in the game, because they just, when they play that fast and their top guys are engaged and they have the puck, you can't do anything. It doesn't matter if you're Nashville and you have a great defense core.
Yeah.
But you can't get the puck. They couldn't get the puck. And Pittsburgh's D, that's the thing that's bothered me the most this whole playoffs, is people write these guys off like they can't skate. Like, they won, five of those guys won the cup last year. They've played the same way. They haven't had Letang all year. This isn't new. They know how to play. I think they've been dinged up. And you saw last night with the rest, they gave Nashville, in that first period, they gave them some of their own medicine with how their D were going down the walls and the aggressiveness and just the pace. I don't think Nashville can keep up with that pace.
The bottom line is that in these games, Pittsburgh does have the two best players.
Yeah, by far.
When you line them up, Pittsburgh has the two best players in the game, in Crosby and Malkin. Now, you could argue that Nashville might have the next three all-defensemen, probably. But the bottom line is Pittsburgh, in every game, has the two best players in the game.
No word yet either, though, on if Ryan Ellis will be available for game six. That has to be a huge loss.
Yeah, big time.
That would be a huge loss for them.
They really, I looked into this the other day for my other show that I do, and they really shelter that third pair. They don't, on average, those guys only start in their own end twice a game, all playoffs.
That's
that third D
pair. Oh, the third D pairing,
that's
Irwin, yeah.
And, that's like, that, I'm just thinking about that. It doesn't logically make any sense, but that's obviously how much they rely on that top four, especially against Pittsburgh, where you have two first lines you have to defend against.
Yeah, and that's, you know, and again, you don't want to overreact to one game. I mean, Pittsburgh, you know, now has to go on the road with the, you know, the home team's won every game so far. But the weird thing is that until last night, Pittsburgh's two best games were the games they lost.
Yeah.
And their two worst games were the games they won.
Can you look at if we were to do...
you could say the same thing about Nashville.
Yeah.
Yeah, you probably... Well, yeah, until last night.
Game three, Nashville was pretty good.
Yeah.
But they were... If you were to ask them... And I don't like the whole saying of, well, the better team didn't win. Because if you're better, you would have found a way to win. So you might be able to say that for a game once in a while, but definitely not for an entire series. But my point was that if you were to sit down the coaches and say, how did you like your game? And the first two for Nashville, Laviolette would have said, that's the way we have to play.
Yeah.
If we play like that, we're going to give ourselves a really good chance to win. So, yeah, it's been a weird series. Frankly, I haven't really enjoyed it all that much. I don't think we've had a really good, entertaining game where both teams have had their best stuff yet.
It's been weird. And I think it's really hard. You know, I don't know that Rene was that bad last night. Like, I mean, you know, Jamie McClellan made the point, you know, Watson screens him on the Schultz point
that
shot.
That one I don't like.
You thought Rene should have had it?
Yeah, because it doesn't matter to me if you're screened or not. How does that shot get through you? That should be the first thing that doesn't go in.
The Malkin one.
That's tipped.
That's tipped.
Hit a stick. That's a hard one to save.
Yeah. You know, so, I mean, really, I mean, it's so hard to evaluate a team when that many shots go in that early. Because you're just... You know, Ray Ferraro made the great point last night on SportsCenter. It's like the old boxing expression. Everyone's got a plan until they get punched in the face.
Right.
And Nashville got punched in the face so early last night, it was hard to tell what the plan was. To your point, Patrick, you haven't had, you know, that third period where it's been close.
Not even close.
Right. I mean, Pittsburgh blew games one and two open with those quick bursts, and then it was done.
So Sidney Crosby, last few games, I think we can argue, probably been his best in the final.
Mm-hmm. He was terrific last
year. Maybe he just ends up having a good game. But do you think if you're, and we've seen this before in many sports, which is why they always say, you know, be careful if you want to trash talk or don't poke the bear or let a sleeping dog lie. Do you think the PK Subban comments that just created this, like, are you kidding me? Created the extra gear for Crosby?
No, but I do think that it makes things more... I don't want to say more difficult, but it is extra stuff you have to take on if you play on his team, right? And even for him, It's just
every, you mean all the stuff great. That people say.
Well, yeah, and then the extra media and mm-hmm. like I want to know, like today is he running around with the microphone?
PK, you mean?
Yeah,
yeah, no, probably not.
Probably not. And if you're winning and it's early in the series, it's great. It's everything. Oh, it's fun and games. Ha ha ha. We're having a great time. But now you got to win two games in a row, or you're going to go home, mm-hmm. and you lost.
What did you retweet yesterday? The Bridgestone Arena talking about Stanley Cup champions?
It was a mistake.
Someone sent me that picture, and yeah. I retweeted it. It was like a flyer or something they were going to hand out, or maybe that was going to be put on the wall in the arena. That
maybe
said,
it was meant for after, like if...
Yeah.
Oh, I would assume so.
Yeah,
but
geez.
Like, how does that get to the public?
I guess the Stanley Cup champion Nashville Predators hats are probably made. They're in a vault somewhere.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. And then they go to Africa.
Yeah, you got to keep that stuff locked up.
I knew a guy who collected those things. He's got
the wrong team.
He's got Buffalo Bills Super Bowl champion.
Well, I was talking to producer Tyler about this because I said, you know, somewhere in a third world country, you have, you know, the San Jose Sharks are last year's Stanley Cup champion. But apparently there is a market now for people wanting that gear, but now they're stopping that. So now these poor kids aren't going to get these clothes because it's created anarchy with people trying to steal the clothes to sell them on the black market.
But I think,
for the love of, come on,
but
people.
But to your point, Andy, if you know Sidney Crosby, and he's a contemporary of yours, Patrick, you know, he's the same age
My whole life, really.
Yeah, and he is so intense, so focused, and so driven. If you think that what P.K. Subban said to him makes him more motivated, I don't know anyone who's more motivated for a Tuesday night in November.
Yeah, or competitive. And
he's so, people always said that Bob McKenzie writing in 1993 that Wayne Gretzky was playing like he had a piano on his back in that series against Toronto, motivated Gretzky. Those are the biggest games of his life for the LA Kings. I mean, that doesn't motivate him more.
Do you maybe sometimes think it just ticks you off? Maybe not motivate, but it's just like, shut up, and then you want to go out and do something about it. But anyways, we got our power rankings coming up, Conn Smythe edition.
But that's kind of...
I didn't send mine in.
That's kind of what separates a guy like P.K. Subban and Sid. Like, Sid just, he knows that the only thing that matters is what goes on the ice. Mm-hmm. And PK is always looking for this extra stuff.
It can be a little too distracting. Lace Lunch will return here on TSN 1050, streaming online, tsn.ca. Don't go anywhere.
Lunch Power Rankings, brought to you by WeatherTech.
It's the big picture. They're in the playoffs. Are you kidding me?
Leafs Lunch Power Rankings, brought to you by WeatherTech Automotive Accessories. Nothing protects your vehicle's floor like WeatherTech floor liners. We had an interesting conversation with Jamie McLennan earlier on in the 11 a.m. hour about Pekka Rinne and how crazy has it been with this one player where, without a doubt, heading into the Stanley Cup final, he was your Conn Smythe candidate, number one Conn Smythe candidate for the Nashville Predators. Then after game one and two, it wavered. Game three and four, he's right back at the top. Game five, you yank him back out of there. I don't know. Who would it be now for the Preds? So let's discuss. Who would be your picks for the Preds? Who would be your picks for the Penguins? Sully?
I'll go first. I think first two for me would be Malkin or Crosby. I don't really know that it really matters. I think, you know, Sid's almost caught him in points. Sid does a lot of other things that Malkin doesn't do. Mm-hmm. But I don't know that you can necessarily add all that stuff in to a decision for this trophy. How much do you weigh the final compared to the rest of it? I think the final means a lot, personally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
the lasting impression, right?
Either way, those are my top two, including anyone on Nashville. And then my other guy from Pittsburgh, I think, would be Gensel. Like, if he gets a couple goals in the next game, that you could give it to him.
Was there a rookie who's won it? Ken Dryden, did he win it in his rookie year?
Yeah, there's been a couple, actually.
Cam Ward, didn't he?
Yeah.
Cam Ward won it in Carolina as a goalie. Is another guy who didn't play every game.
Mm-hmm.
And then the two... You know, if we're looking at a top five, my two from Nashville would be Josi and Forsberg. I think Pekka Rinne, frankly, has played behind a team who just was running over other teams early. I don't know that he played as well as what his stats were. mm-hmm. coming into this round.
Right.
He's a guy that has made me nervous forever. He was a guy that I love to play against because he will make, first of all, he is elite at shots from below the hash marks, like grade A plus plus chances. He has the best save percentage of anybody in the playoffs from there. But it's the stuff everywhere else where he has issues.
Hmm.
And that's why teams score a lot from far away on him. It's just an issue that he has. He's always had it. And this goes back for me, you know, internationally and even in the minors. He makes me so nervous. Half the time when he has the puck, he doesn't actually have it under his glove. It'll be like off to the side. I'm telling you, watch this stuff. So coming into this round, I'm looking at this guy's stats and everything else, and his last couple years have been below average.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I personally don't think he's that good at this point. I really don't. I think what you've seen is a guy who can't play in Pittsburgh for whatever reason, even in the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
And he competes, though, which is why it makes a lot of sense that he's so good and tight in the really high danger areas. He's really athletic. But I just don't know that he's that technically sound. I don't think he's that good.
Yeah, I mean, there's an argument to be made there. Is, you know, is he just being exposed right now with a team that's not being able to play well on the road?
And Pittsburgh is a team, as you can see last night, when they are on, or even the chances they get are high quality. They're the best team in the league in the regular season when they get outshot. That's because it happens a lot, because they're not looking to shoot from all over the place. They'll hang on to the puck, and they'll look for quality chances. They get a lot of odd man rushes, and those are hard for any goalie, but especially
mm-hmm.
Pekka. When the puck moves laterally, he opens up. Like that first goal that Schultz scored on the power play, you can talk about that screen all you want. It can't go through your legs.
Yeah. Mm.
Well, there that. So you've got.
So Rene's not in my top five. That's long story short.
I was trying to remember.
Out.
I'm like, so it's Roman Josi.
So here's my quick top five. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll just go Crosby because I have a Crosby, Malkin, Gensel, Josi, Forsberg.
Okay.
So
I just wanted to say, like, that video of the Nashville fan before game five who served Jake Gensel the catfish. Yeah. The stinky face that Gensel made was priceless. I loved it.
So for me, I go Crosby over Malkin, only because, yes, Malkin leads the playoffs in scoring. He did a lot of that scoring in the first two rounds. He's been a little quieter here in the last two rounds. Crosby's only gone back-to-back games without a point once in the playoffs. So I do think that Crosby gets a slight nod over him on that. So Crosby, yeah. Malkin, Gensel for Pittsburgh. I'm with you on Nashville. Like, if Nashville wins the cup and Pekka Rinne plays well in games 6 and 7, I think he's back in contention, but right now he's not. It's hard.
I would agree. Like,
it's hard, but right now it's hard to say he's been one of Nashville's best players when he's been pulled twice in the final. There's a raging debate. So I put that poll up. So Josi is the runaway winner for Nashville in terms of their playoff MVP. That defense is so good. I've been asking NHL coaches and managers over the last couple of days, who is Nashville's best defenseman? And you get lots of different answers.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Ekholm is the hardest to play against. Like, as a forward, a guy, an offensive player, that's the guy I would not want to play against the most.
He's
got a temper.
Josi's got six goals.
But he's so mobile, and he's got a really good stick, and he's long arms and a long stick.
Philip Forsberg's been really good for them.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's been... So I guess, for me, for Nashville, I go Forsberg and then one of those D-men.
Well, it's been pretty spread out when it comes to Nashville. That's why.
P.K. Subban's been really good. P.K. Subban has been really good. Josi's got better numbers.
He doesn't play against Sid, though.
He has, though.
He doesn't. That's not their matchup. He has to get off the ice when Sid comes on. So he's not their best defenseman, not even close. The matchup is Ellis and Josi against Sid.
When Nashville has the last change, but in Pittsburgh, it's been Subban a lot against Crosby.
Not by Nashville's choice, that's my point. And how's their record in Pittsburgh?
Well, Peck Arena's record in Pittsburgh. No, so Subban has been very good. And I think that that defense is so good. But I guess you give the edge to Yossi just based on he's got the, you know, he's got six goals. Mm-hmm. Leads all defensemen in the playoffs with six goals.
All right. There you go.
What about you?
You've made your decisions. You know what, to be honest with you, I agree when it comes to Pittsburgh. I don't know when it comes to Nashville anymore, because with me it was Pecorine, and then I look at this and I just say
it's
pretty tough.
Yeah, if they come back and win, I don't know what to even compare it to, because they have been absolutely horrendous in the games that they've lost. Like, I'm talking about decision making, like just doing things that you just cannot do. Mm-hmm. Like those games in Pittsburgh. I forget which one it was, but they're you talk about this decor, this elite decor they have. They were making some of the dumbest plays I've seen all year to get burnt on those goals.
They always pinch. For some reason in Pittsburgh, well, they're so high up.
That's Laviolette's.
Yes,
Peter Laviolette's always coached like that.
Which is fine, but why
Islanders,
is it in Pittsburgh?
Carolina, Philly, he's always had defense. He wants to pinch up along the wall. He always
has. But the problem is you have to check over your shoulder to make sure that there's a guy in the middle.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And they run into issues with that. They're so aggressive. And I think it has worked at times against Pittsburgh when Pittsburgh's D struggle to move the puck properly. But a game like last night, or even game four was telling for me, because what I saw was Pittsburgh figured out something against Nashville and how to get through the neutral zone with speed, create opportunities, and they had three breakaways in that game.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And Pekka played well.
Well, he made big saves.
He made big saves.
You know what I'd like to see? I'd like to see both teams play their best in one game.
I said that yesterday, hoping that it would happen going into that game.
Maybe it takes an elimination game to do it. I don't know. Maybe that's what we're going to see in the next game.
It would be great to see, because we haven't seen it yet.
No.
And it's been weird, because it's odd in the final not to see that.
Mm-hmm. So those were your Leafs Lunch Power Rankings, brought to you by WeatherTech Automotive Accessories. Get the ultimate custom fit floor protection for your car, truck, or SUV. Go to weathertech.ca. Nothing protects like WeatherTech. And they'll rescue you from your car lease busters. People would love to take over your car lease for your lease relief. Go to leasebusters.com. That's it. Less than a minute, my weekend begins.
Wow.
I'm so out of here.
Are you? I'm off next week to visit some military bases.
Nice.
Yeah, so I won't be around next week. So try to get by without me.
I think I'll manage.
No. Old reptilian.
Oh, yeah.
She claims that her name as an anagram is Wonder Woman.
I didn't claim it's that. Not. Buffalo Phil did.
It's not. It's,
oh, so well, he creeped. It's, he creeped Buffalo Phil on
it's
Twitter.
Old reptilian.
And then made fun of me.
Is an anagram for her name.
His is old fart.
Anytime you start messing with Buffalo Phil and the ins and outs of what's coming out of that guy's brain.
Don't do it.
He's not part of my world, so I don't see what he says, so I'll leave it up to you.
All right, guys. Sully, what do you have planned?
I don't know. Kids, stuff, sports. Just do what I'm told.
Limo driver. That's all we do.
Trying to play golf maybe this weekend.
All right, good luck with that. Patrick O'Sullivan, Gord Miller, and Manny Petrillo. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll check in with you on Monday. Scotty Mac Show coming up next.